Tomorrow at this time, ask John McClain anything you want. We have the first crack at John this week because of travel, so he will join us tomorrow.
John will join us at 7:30. You can come in and disapprove of us and do various other things.
I think we're in a good, we're in a good place with John.
Look down his nose at us.
I think we're in a good place.
Yeah.
We're in a good place. We hash things out on the air on
He thinks he's so much better than me. Like he
no,
really, oh,
that.
He does. He's very superior, this John McClain.
I don't think so.
He holds himself in a very lofty position, and he thinks that I'm down here underneath him. That's all. But that's all. Whatever. That's cool. We'll just have, we're contractually obligated to have him in. So we'll have him, he'll come in and just think he's better than me for an hour and a half.
Tomorrow, John joins us at 7:40.
It was an hour and 20 minutes now?
Well, I'm not sure with our little situation.
We changed
here
our clock here.
Yes.
Situation. We just changed our clock a little bit. Yeah.
So. ESPN released their early 2018 NFL power rankings. Jaguars are 5th. The Texans are 15th.
15th, you sons of bitches, ESPN! Damn it, I'm glad you're going down in Flint! All right, that sounds fair.
Yeah. 17, Tennessee 17, and Indianapolis is 25. Any of that surprise you?
The Jaguars being 5th surprises me. What are they doing? They're going based on, they put all the playoff teams up at the top, and then you sort it out underneath. I don't necessarily think that just because the Jaguars, you gotta sometimes look back and think, the AFC in particular has had some instances where teams have been in the AFC championship game in recent years where you're like, all right, well, fine, you can say you went to an AFC championship game, but like, let's look at really how it happened. Was you did pretty well in a year where it was miserable for the AFC, where either winning the division and or making a wild card wasn't necessarily, didn't mean all that much. And then you had a hell of a defense. You beat the Bills in one of the, I don't want to say a boring football game, it was a defensive battle, and then you I don't know what to make of
Well, here's the question. Whenever you have a team that goes deep into the playoffs like Jacksonville did, the question you have to ask yourself is, okay, what about their season is something they can't replicate?
Yeah.
What about their season is something that happened that they can't count on moving forward?
I don't think that they're going to get consistently good efforts out of Blake Bortles. And frankly, they didn't get consistently good performances out of Blake Bortles, but he did some good things at times. Over the second half of the season, actually, he was more consistent than some other very good quarterbacks. I think that he's going to get found out a little bit by the league. I think that the Jaguars, who were very methodical and predictable in some ways, it didn't burn them necessarily. They could get away with it. I don't think they get away with it next year. So I think they're going to be somewhat stagnant offensively.
You still feel like their defense is going to be really, really good.
I don't know about that, though, because their defense had some real blemishes later on in the season. They're going to be a good defense for a while, as long as those defensive backs are healthy. Calais Campbell, like, how long is Calais Campbell going to keep producing? There were times this year where I thought he looked old at times. I think he had a really good season and he put up some good numbers and everything, but I'm not so certain that Calais Campbell is just going to every year show up and consistently produce.
Not a lot of people have said that about Calais Campbell.
Yeah.
That's an interesting take.
Okay. Did people get old? Sorry about it.
Okay. No, I'm glad.
I'm just not sold completely on the staying power of the Jaguars.
All right, so Jacksonville's 5. Tennessee's...
I have to put them above the Texans right now, just because I don't know what the Texans look like until I see everybody healthy.
I'm not really all too concerned if they are healthy. The Texans matching Jacksonville's win total. What I'd be a little bit worried about is, do they match up well with Jacksonville? Because when they face each other on the field, obviously, they played 8 quarters against each other.
Yeah.
Watson was only out there for 2 quarters. But they seemed like, we talked about this with John Harris, I think, at some point. Like, they just seemed like they were so much faster and more athletic that I wonder if that's just one of those, that it's not a good matchup at the moment for the Texans, and they'll have to rectify that through their personnel moves in the offseason.
I feel like the Titans are being left out in the cold in this discussion for no good reason, where in many ways they were the Texans' superior this year, Mike. Are you just where are you in your lust for Mariota to be one of the better quarterbacks in the league? Was it just injury last year? Is he going to look more like he did 2 years ago this season?
I think he'll be better. I just think that they need to improve their roster.
Yeah.
If I was a Tennessee fan, I'd be more worried about, okay, I need to get more big-time players across the roster. Like, I was arguing with somebody a few weeks ago about John Robinson, about the job he's done as a GM. I think he's fine. But they took Corey Davis and Adoree Jackson in the first round. That's okay. That's not great. That's not really standing out. You look at Tennessee and you go into a game with them and you're like, who really scares me?
Yeah.
Mariota, and that's about it.
Oh, This is the thing. We realize this. Landry, do you have that song that I... This is why I don't like Vrabel. He's Gaston. Hey, do you remember this song, Mike? Have you ever... He has a guest. He's Gaston completely.
From Beauty and the Beast.
And they'll tell you whose team they prefer to be on.
He's like the man's man.
No one... Like Gaston, no one's got us well cleft in his chin like Gaston.
Oh, it sounds like
as
this.
A specimen, yes, I'm intimidating.
I want a guy like Gaston. If I were us, he will be his.
Hold on a second, I'm having a...
Gaston is the best and the rest is all the rest.
It's Rabel. No one calls out Clowny like Gaston. No one yells like Gaston. No one swears on Hard Knocks like Gaston. Or Vrabel. This is what I don't like. There's something about Vrabel that I just don't trust. People like him a little too much. He's at this, he's like this legendary, mythical figure built up around him, and I don't quite like it. You messed me up there, Landry, coming in right in the middle of the song like that. Thanks a lot.
It's
for
a
that.
Very quick pace.
Thanks for screwing me all up on my Gaston.
It's a but rapid this is, pace.
Every time you see Mike Vrabel from this point forward,
try to think of Gaston.
Yeah, think of Gaston and think of all the dastardly things Gaston did to that poor woman in that fairy tale. Which one was that? Was that Beauty and the Beast?
Yes.
To Elle? Is that her name? Imagine
Ellie.
Imagine Vrabel doing all those dastardly things to Ellie the way that Gaston did to Belle. And that's why I don't like Mike Vrabel.
How is it that Landry both at the same time can say that he doesn't like Matt Patricia's beard and yet he feels as though Mike Vrabel is unkempt on the sideline? I don't understand those two opinions being held simultaneously.
Wait, no, he doesn't like either of those
slobs.
Things. Yeah, what? Those are perfectly consistent.
But how does Vrabel look like a slob? He's got a V-neck and whatever.
He's wearing sweats on the sideline.
What do you mean by sweats?
He's wearing like a gray sweatshirt under a sweater vest. He looks like an idiot.
How does he look like an idiot?
He doesn't look as like put together as most other coaches do on the sideline.
When I look at him, I think he looks put together.
What are you talking about?
I'm serious.
Nobody compared to, it's like he's trying to be Belichick, but doesn't go all the way.
I've never gotten that sense
okay, all right.
Belichick's wearing that stupid cutoff Patriots t-shirt on Sunday nights.
Yeah.
Vrabel wouldn't wear that. Vrabel looks like
he
could've...
Right here. What are you talking about? He's got a dry fit pullover with the sleeves cut off, with a gray cotton tee underneath, a gray cotton long sleeve tee underneath.
That's not a great example for me, I admit.
Well, yeah,
but
that's what he's talking about. No, there's other times
he's
where he's just wearing normal.
On.
Dude, like the fake cut off, like that's the biggest mass. Am I allowed to say the M hole, whatever? That's where like he picked
then
that up. I know he's from the Midwest, but like his time spent in New England put that little part of Massachusetts obnoxiousness in him, like where he looks like a lax bro or something from Connecticut. Nothing wrong with lax bros in Texas. It's just a different breed up there in New Hampshire and Connecticut and Massachusetts with their stupid dirty white lacrosse hat and all these other things. Yeah.
All right. Here's
that's one of the most deplorable things about Belichick is that he wants to be a lax bro. He's got this little lacrosse side of him to him, which again, it's fine in Texas. New England, it's a whole different brand up there. Because it's basically a sport they created in New England for white dudes to feel like they're more athletic than they are. It's what it is. It's really what it is. It's almost like, oh, that guy was an awesome laxer. He's a great lacrosse player. Oh, that's great. Like, how many black guys was he better than? The four that play?
There are black guys who play lacrosse.
Not as many as there are play football.
Not as many, that's true.
Like Jim Brown dallied in it for like one season at Syracuse. And dominated.
Yeah, he was great. Now, I don't think it was just one season. I think it was a little bit more. Anyway, my quick take from Super Bowl 52, as we have had 36 hours to think and let it kind of sink in. I believe the Eagles season and their upset win over the Patriots is going to cause a big change in the NFL. It's been a gradual change as far as teams being aggressive and going for it on fourth down.
Yeah.
I believe that. I believe that we will continue to see a sea change in the NFL with those kinds of decisions.
And that we will then start calling Bill O'Brien. What did we come up with? Big Willie Billy.
Big
Willie Billy's going to start going for it. And all you people in the Houston press corps who are such frauds, like where you criticize Bill O'Brien when he tries to throw it at the end of the first half and Fitzpatrick gets intercepted. But then every single time where you love to be Monday morning quarterback and say, oh, we should have gone for it on fourth down and be more aggressive like Doug Peterson, Big D Peterson, then you're going to, I don't know what you're going to do except that you're still going to criticize him. And I'm not standing up here sticking up for Bill O'Brien. I'm just saying that there have been plenty of instances where O'Brien has been gutsy here in the past, and he's been roundly criticized for those decisions. Go back to the what did he do in the Dallas game in overtime? We gotta go.
I'll tell you what he did in that game. Yeah. This is the wrong way to look at George Springer's 2-year extension. Next on Mad Radio.